So for the last couple of weeks, I've been wanting to respond to the amount of fear and terror happening in our country right now. We are experiencing an unprecedented amount of corruption and dishonesty and sheer hatred in our nation, at least in my lifetime and from my perspective as a white person. Taking in the news and trying to process and understand it all has taken its toll on me too. My heart has been broken over and over again by the latest shooting, wildfire, targeted suppression of democracy, hateful responses from our president. The list goes on. People of conscience are experiencing distress on a national level because we are seeing what happens when the darkness of hatred is allowed to encroach upon the light of love. I have had moments and entire days, if I'm going to be honest, when it just became too much and I felt myself slip into despair. I recognize the signs of grief in myself and in those around me. So you're not crazy if you find that you just don't have the energy for the activities that you normally enjoy. Don't worry about yourself if you find yourself being unusually irritable or crying for no particular reason. This is a natural reaction to the trauma that we are all experiencing. I've noticed, too, a sudden sharp decline in participation here in the fellowship, people needing to take off time from committee work. The recruitment of volunteers in just about every area of the fellowship life has become more challenging, all except Sunday morning attendance. I'm so grateful that people still need to come and want to be here together in loving community each week. And I'm not worried. I understand that this is a temporary response to the trauma that we're experiencing. My dear friends, these are spiritual issues, and they require a spiritual response. To see what is happening from a spiritual perspective, we need to back up far enough that we can see what is happening from the highest possible perspective. And what I see when I do that is the classic struggle between good and evil, between love and hatred. The forces of darkness are threatening to close in and engulf us, and that is terrifying. We are staring down the devil himself. But I want to make sure that it's clear that when I say the forces of darkness, I'm not talking about individual people. Individual people are not good or evil. I know people are made of love, by love, and for love. All people. Yes, even him. And yet all people are also susceptible to being taken over by our darker impulses, our fear and jealousy and greed and envy and guilt and shame. All forces of darkness are driven by fear. Fear is a mighty force. And like an aggressive weed, it threatens to choke out the abundance of love out of the garden of our hearts. Now, I don't often preach from the Christian Bible, but these are very specific times, and I think these are the times when it might be helpful. So, friends, it's time to get biblical. In John chapter 1, verse 5, it is written, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." Now, the word overcome here in this translation has also been translated as comprehend, apprehend, put it out, master, overtake, and perceived. These different biblical translations are all derived from the original Greek word kateleben, which means most directly to take eagerly, to seize, to possess. So the darkness did not comprehend the light. It did not apprehend it. It did not put out the light or master it. The darkness did not overtake the light or even perceive it. Darkness is no match for the light because darkness is not a thing in and of itself. It is simply the absence of light. shine a light into the darkness and the darkness is dispelled. It disappears. It doesn't go someplace else. It vanishes into thin air because it isn't a thing. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. famously said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." Just like darkness, hatred is not a thing in and of itself. It is the denial of love, the refusal of love, the renunciation of love, the absence of love. Many of us have experienced a person who pushes away an offer of love because of a deeper fear of rejection, a fear that the love that we so desperately want will be taken away. And maybe that person has been yourself. It's a very common dynamic. The sad truth is that most of us walk around with a deep, often unconscious, sense of unworthiness. We don't feel like we are truly lovable. If people really knew us, they wouldn't love us. We don't feel like we deserve to be unconditionally loved. We feel separated from God, the source of infinite unconditional love. We feel isolated from other people, not on the surface maybe, but in some deep fundamental way. This feeling of isolation, of separation from the light and love, is what allows us to see people who are different than we are as other. We lose the ability to see their full humanity. We lose sight of our spiritual connection to them. Those others are not fully human in the way that we and our closest friends and family are. And that unconscious label makes it okay in our minds to ignore them or shun them or actively take away rights and protections from them or much, much worse. For some, that sense of personal shame and separation and isolation pinches out the light almost entirely, and it manifests then as vitriolic hatred toward others. This encroachment of fear into the field of love, this closing in of the darkness, is what allows people to carry out murderous atrocities. But the good news is that unconditional love is always there. It's always available to us. Like a star, like our own sun, love shines without ceasing. Brilliant and infinite, love is the natural state of things. It is our full inheritance, our true nature, and our ultimate destiny. And you are infinitely deserving and worthy of all of it. Yes, you. When we're not feeling in the flow of love, the problem is in us. It's not the source. To fully experience love, we need only to open the channel wider, to clear away the blocks to love that we have created in our own hearts. I'm going to say something that sounds a little controversial at first. You cannot make this world a better place, not in the way that you think. And by that I mean you cannot make hateful people less hateful. So stop trying. You're exhausting your resources. That is their spiritual work to do. It's between them and their God. There is one thing that you can do, and it is the only thing that you can do, and it is to increase the capacity in your own heart to give and receive love. And it is enough, and it will change the world. It already has. In countless ways. Your only job is to open your heart as wide as possible. Shine your light of love as brightly as you can. Because when you do that, you have no idea what is really possible. You don't know the effect of your loving exchanges with people, I had a sweet interaction with a grocery clerk yesterday, and I have no idea what difference that might have made in both of our lives. Maybe she will go make some small choice differently that'll ripple out and bring kindness in ways that I'll never know. Maybe I will. Maybe I already have. Truth is that people in our country have fallen ill to a very sad and very sick disease. This disease is fear, and it manifests as racism and anti-Semitism and misogyny and homophobia and transphobia and all of the rest. This is the cancer of the human race that is eating away at many of our fellow spirits. They have given over to the idea of separation, that someone is other and therefore does not need to be treated with kindness and respect and equality. If we think of it as a disease to be defeated, the treatment is love. It is the only thing that actually works in this particular sickness. And so my challenge to you, friends, is this: consciously increase your capacity to love. Start today, this week sometime. Dedicate an hour, an afternoon, maybe a whole day, to being as loving as you possibly can. Make a conscious decision. Put it in your calendar. That way you'll make sure you get it done. And when that time comes, talk to your neighbor, your letter carrier, the guy who rotates your tires, whoever you meet, with the intention of sending them as much kindness and compassion as you can. Open doors for as many people as you can. Look for ways to be helpful. Give the people that you interact with your full attention and beam love at them with your eyes. Start looking for loving acts and you'll see them everywhere. A loving act is one with a heart-to-heart connection. It's something that moves you, something that brings a tear to your eye. You'll know that it is a loving interaction when it leaves both parties feeling happier, lighter, maybe even a little sparkly. The truth is, it feels so much better to be loving. It's an opening, a softening, an unclenching of your heart. People want to be kind and generous. We do. It's way more fun. And you get a little bit of a natural high from it. And remember that judgments block love. Whether they're directed inward or outward doesn't matter. All judgments are roadblocks to the flow of love. And our opinions are just mini judgments. So start to notice when you're judging yourself or somebody else and decide that you don't want to have those thoughts anymore. They don't bring you peace. See if you can let some of your opinions go. Make up your mind to stay curious, to stay open. Decide to deepen and expand the love you already have in your life. Open the heart channel wider between you and your family, your friends, your lover. Be open and present. Take time to really listen deeply, the kind of listening that isn't just waiting for your response, the kind of listening that lets that person know you want to know what it's like for them. When I was a teenager, I remember adults getting on our case for PDAs, right? Do you remember that? Public displays of affection. I say we need more PDAs right now. We need more hand-holding, more hugging, more kissing in public. Let the children see us being tender and loving with one another. They see so much violence. Let us demonstrate affection in the public sphere. Tell the people that you love them every day, multiple times a day. If saying I love you is hard for you, and I know it is for some people, practice in private. Just say the words over and over again. See how it feels. Get get comfortable with the vulnerability of those words. Try saying it in a mirror a few times. My beloved friends, these times we are living in call on us to amplify love. We need to hold one another in a tractor beam of love, a network, a web, and especially people who are compromised in some way, people who are vulnerable, people who are sick, elderly folks, children, and teenagers. Beam love at them, and especially people who have been the target of oppression, people of color and Jews and Muslims, asylum seekers, immigrants, transgender folks, gay, lesbian, and bisexual people, people living with disabilities, women. Beam love at them and at one another. We all need to feel held in a web of nurturance and care so that we can heal from some of this trauma. And love is what allows us to heal. This is the core of what nonviolent resistance is all about. Love is the only power that hatred cannot ever defeat. Remember, darkness is not a thing in and of itself, and it will never overcome the light. I remember the story that Dr. King tells about when the black civil rights protesters were first locked up in jail. And they were frightened at first, and then they began to sing. They sang spirituals about hope and love and freedom and promise, and they sang loud and strong, and their voices rose in powerful harmonies, echoing off the cement walls and the iron bars. It was then, in that moment, when they realized that they could never be truly defeated. King said, "We will meet your physical force with soul force." We are living in dire times once again, my friends. Let us dedicate ourselves to opening each of our hearts to the full force of light, the full force of love. It is time to open the floodgates. Open the valve of love in your heart. Turn it up to fire hose force. It is time to shine like a beacon, like a lighthouse. It's time to show the world what we are truly made of. I love you. Amen, and blessed be.